You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Buying a car doesn't have to be stressful if you're doing it with the right folks. Should be doing it with Leaders Credit Union. Let them help you, Memphis. They're here for you. For all of our listeners, not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members means it operates for your benefit, unlike a bank, which when it makes profit, just pockets those profits. As a credit union, this goes back into the credit union, meaning it goes back into you. What's that mean? It means better rates for you on car loans. HELOCs, home equity lines of credit. That can help you out. Get a lower rate than those high-interest credit cards, and you can do that bathroom remodel. Take out that cash that you need to get that remodel done. Or you can power through the rest of your summer with a Compass Black credit card through Leaders Credit Union. Earn 3% cash back on every purchase and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No categories, no limits. Check it all out at leaderscu.com/ESPN and see what Leaders can do for you. We're part of the Leaders family. Got little Chris all signed up. He's a future leader. He's got a future leader savings account. And we're watching his money grow. It's a great way to teach your young one how to grow their money, how to save their money. We're doing it with Leaders. We're part of the family. You should be too. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA and is your financial champion. All right, every day around this time, we do a little thing we call the rundown. Let's do it. Interesting story up over at ESPN. I guess this became, it spread like wildfire last night. Pete Thamel was on it. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer, after screenshots of past references to sports gambling on his Venmo account surfaced online Monday, reading from the ESPN.com story, has denied to school officials ever being involved with gambling, a source told ESPN's Pete Thamel. School officials became aware of the matter late last night and are planning an investigation, a source told ESPN. Screenshots posted online Monday night showed Mateer, again the Oklahoma quarterback, allegedly twice included sports gambling, those words in memos for transactions on November 20th, this is back in 2022, while he was a freshman at Washington State. Both transactions were allegedly made to a Venmo account for Richard Roten, believed to be a teammate at Washington State at the time. College athletes are prohibited, obviously, from betting on any sport offered by the NCAA, which with penalties up to loss of eligibility. Mateer, the number one overall player in ESPN's portal rankings, number one. Transferred to Oklahoma from Washington State, like we mentioned this offseason. Passed for 3,100 yards last year, 29 touchdowns. I didn't realize he was number one in the portal, number one ranked in the portal, according to ESPN. Wow. That was his third with the Cougars last season before transferring over to Oklahoma, who, oh, by the way, is 18th in the first AP Top 25 poll that dropped yesterday. The Sooners opened their season at home August 30th against Illinois State. For now, and there may be a few more details out there, that have already been publicized. But for now, this is what we have. Just with it involving a top 25 team, this obviously isn't. You're talking about a starter. You're talking about the number one guy in the portal, a guy with a lot at stake.
I mean, he's got a $3 million NIL deal there.
Right. And we are not, and keeping that in consideration, we're not talking about something, obviously, these memos are from 2022 at his time at Washington. So very early on, okay, even at his career at Washington State, a previous stop, but this would be from years ago. It would seem like with what you accomplished last year at Washington State, throwing for the 3,100 yards, the 29 touchdowns, being number one in the portal, you wouldn't risk anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you've been in college athletics for a while now. You know all the rules. Mm-hmm. And now as the number one transfer portal guy with a ton of NIL, like you just said, going over to Oklahoma, you're telling me you're willing to risk this? So clearly this is all about what he might have done early on. I wonder now with – you're talking about screenshots.
Right.
And how those – you know – back in my day, we used to call it Photoshop. Now, with what you can do, AI and everything else, I don't know what we're calling it anymore.
Yep.
But can you not sort of doctor some of these things? I wonder if this is could potentially be there could be fire here. I mean, there seems to be a lot of smoke. But I just wonder if this is you have to consider somebody maybe trying to set him up as well because there's a lot of stake here, or maybe it's a mistake in the past that he thought. All right, I got through this,
yeah,
and it's come back to haunt him. What it continues to remind us, and it's a conversation John and I have had a bunch, is, I mean, now, man, with U.S. integrity on top of everything, and we've talked about some of these other scandals in college athletics. I think I remember it was Alabama baseball was one that got busted up. You know, you can't get away with much. They're on top of everything. It's a kind of, we've been amazed sort of by how on top of it. I'm curious to see. Because clearly there will be a ton of attention when you're talking about this level of player for a top 25 team in Oklahoma. So curious to see where this thing goes.
So the question I would have is, like all of us, you know, you change your behaviors, whether you're using too much alcohol, too much gambling, whatever, right? And a lot of it is based on new technology and because the rules change and maybe your profile raises. So this guy, this is why I kind of feel for the guy. Because they're clearly digging now, which is not good, because we've seen that here in Memphis like all the time. When there's smoke, there's usually fire coming. So, like, I feel for the guy a little bit, because if you were a, you know, so-so player in 2022 and 3 years later you didn't realize you'd be worth $3 or $5 million in an NIL deal, like, you might conduct yourself differently. You know, it's a little – I don't want to say it's unfair – but it's a little unfair given that, you know, the stakes change a little bit. And then the rules, we didn't know what gambling was going to be like in 2025 when this started in 2000. You know, we were in here like, hey, look, we can always gamble on our phone. And then suddenly, like, all of it, the professional stuff, college kids get addicted to it. And
I'll be honest, because I've read stories not about college athletes, but about college students and all their buddies and how they've gotten as young men.
It's the biggest problem in my
addicted
opinion.
Addicted to it.
Yeah, it's worse than drinking, worse than drugs, in my opinion, and worse than a lot of stuff out there. I have a friend, he'll remain nameless. He's connected with the radio station. His brother, who goes to a university in the Deep South, like the parents had to really bail him out. See, was going deep, deep, deep.
So super prevalent.
Yes.
And so the idea that you can just separate a group of student athletes who are of that same age, some of them in the same fraternities and everything else as their student friends,
right,
who are knee deep in it. The idea that the NCAA rule book is this divide that's just going to keep all of these athletes from doing it just seemed far-fetched. It always seemed like you were opening up Pandora's box, particularly when it came to college athletics, where, like you said, maybe early on in a player's career, he doesn't know if he's going to the NFL or if he's got big NIL paydays or whatever else. He might be a little bit more willing to take the chance, to risk it. You'd think a guy like this, Mateer, clearly at this stage of his career wouldn't do this, but as Brad said, this is back in 2022 at Washington State before he blew up. And so who knows if maybe back then he decided to, you're willing to do it or not. But I've just thought that the idea that, oh, just because I'm on the team, the scrolling through and the get addicted is not going to, you know, it's not something I've got to stay away from. I just thought it's far-fetched because, again, you're going to have so many of your buddies, so many of your frat bros that aren't on the team but are right there around you all the time on their phones and making bets and probably asking you all the time, hey, how y'all going to look this weekend?
Sure.
I mean, don't you think that happens college campuses across the country?
How many guys play dice games and cards games their freshman year and then they get through their redshirt season and there might be a few hundred bucks that they've gambled in a frat party or something like that? I also feel the same way about impermissible benefits. Think about how many middle schoolers and there are people coming from poverty in really bad situations who need money.
Yep.
And now a lot of that's legal. But like, the stakes change when you're a junior in high school and suddenly you're on the radar of some of these college coaches. So it's a little unfair because of the circumstances and because all of this is new territory.
Yep. I mean, this is a number one player in the transfer portal. So this story not going away anytime soon. When you got guys like Pete Thamel on, and I'm sure we'll get
Oklahoma's going to be good, apparently, with this kid. That's what I'm reading here.
Number 18 in the country.
Damn.
Expected to be good. And
they
and,
need him.
Absolutely. When you go out and spend what they did to get him out of the transfer
portal. They
want to pay
him. But you'd get out of that deal, though, obviously, if he got – I'm assuming that the NIL portion would be like, well, you know, if you get busted for something like gambling or whatever, then – goodbye money.
You just got to be careful. Might be somebody that's out to get him.
Yeah.
Trying to frame him. We'll see.
A Texas fan? Maybe
perhaps.
A Texas attorney?
Could very well
maybe
be.
A well-endowed
could
Texas.
Be a Texas fan. We'll keep you apprised of details. All right. NFL injury situations we're monitoring heading into the second of three full weeks of preseason football. Wanted to bring this one back because we discussed it yesterday, and at the time we discussed it, I think Philadelphia fans were still worried. With Landon Dickerson, their fantastic starting left guard, is going to undergo a minor knee surgery, sustained a meniscus injury in that Sunday practice in which he was carted off. I think there were a bunch of Philly fans out there for that joint practice, and they were all, the place was silent as he had to get carted off. So many thought it was going to be serious, one of the best guards in the league, and they are considering him week to week. So it was incredibly positive news for the Philadelphia Eagles. As we mentioned, a three-time Pro Bowler, they think he'll be ready for the season opener against the rival Cowboys on September 4th. So that was good news for them. And he's got the Athletic talks about it. You know, he's got a history of playing through pain, did so in last season's Super Bowl, helping the Philadelphia Eagles win it all. So long as they've got him out there and available, sounds like it's going to be pretty good news for them. Matthew Stafford didn't necessarily meet the expected timeline of getting back to practice for the Rams. 37 years old now, quarterback for the Rams. And Sean McVay had said that he expected to have him back yesterday, but he did not. He's dealing with an aggravated disc that caused some back soreness for some weeks, and he remains a spectator. I'm not worried about Matthew Stafford, who's entering his 17th season. He's another guy who's played through the pain and everything else. And, unlike a Cincinnati situation where you're playing Joe Burrow, a much different situation. Joe's not entering his 17th season, but you know he's going to be your starter, and you know what he can do. I just, in this case, I don't think you need to play him. I'm of that belief with Joe Burrow. And in fact, real quick, I'll get back to Stafford and what they expect of him, but this playing Joe Burrow, and you saw he went out and lit it up, you know, for a whole quarter, throwing it to Chase, playing. This idea that the reason they've had these slow starts is because they haven't played in the preseason, you don't have a defense.
No.
It's ridiculous to think now that, okay, because Joe Burrow was hitting Ja'Marr Chase for everything he wanted in the first preseason game, that all of a sudden now this means success for Cincinnati. That has not been the problem. It's crazy. I'm hearing now people say what I said before I got out of here. Your problem is defense. And frankly, what you're doing is putting Joe Burrow at risk. He's the one thing that can save you, that offense. Keep you in games, keep you ahead, and you're putting him at risk. I wouldn't play him, and I'd be as careful with him as the Rams are being with Matthew Stafford, even though obviously they're on different time points in their careers. Back to Stafford, like I said, McVay doesn't seem overly worried. I don't think, you know, it is the back, and he's had previous problems with the back, so you do have to take it seriously. But so long as they've got him for the opener, he's out there, I think the Rams will be fine. And in fact, when you compare it to what the 49ers seem to continue to be going through, there were a couple of announcements out of 49ers camp yesterday. They are eyeing a week 6 return for Brandon Ayuk, who last year tore the ACL and MCL in his right knee. They think he can be back by week 6. That's good news. But in the meantime, they don't have any receivers right now to practice. And we had mentioned Jordan Watkins because Ole Miss fans will be very familiar with him. Rookie wide receiver for the 49ers. He got hurt. We didn't know it on Saturday. He had a 50-yard catch against the Denver Broncos. Ole Miss fans probably saw it. Played pretty well, played the whole game, and you thought it was without issue, but an MRI revealed he's got a high ankle sprain and is likely going to be out for a month. DeMarcus Robinson is still awaiting word from the league on a potential suspension. And so right now at receiver, they are particularly thin. They've got Pearsall, but not much else, at least right now. And so I bring it up because the 49ers team were hoping to put injuries behind them. This 49ers team that was injury ravaged last year, I think finished with, 6 wins, bottom of the NFC West. you know, they had just been in a position where they were, you know, a contender in the NFC, a true Super Bowl contender, and they dropped off the map last year, a lot of it related to injuries. Well, they're right back sort of in that injury boat. And so, you know, interesting to see if, you know, what they'll have out there come September 7th. But I do like Jordan Watkins. He actually got a rush in that game, and they were using him sort of in that old, in a kind of Deebo Samuel role. You know, Deebo's obviously moved on to the Commanders as they've looked to get a little bit younger. And the rookie looked pretty good there. Again, high ankle sprain back in a month. Sure, that means bodes well for the season, but you'd like to have the young guys out there. And he was really impressing with the increased opportunity. The 49ers on Monday didn't have Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, like we mentioned, and it's just real thin right now. But it looks like, you know, maybe it's a get-through situation where by the time you get to that opener on September 7th, you've got enough out there to where I look at their injury situation now. I was expecting bounce-back season, but with what I know of the Rams, it's kind of hard to see the 49ers just bouncing back and taking the NFC West back over.
Yeah, but I think the quarterback thing is a problem, and I know you want Stafford out there ideally. And
so long as he's out there, I still like them better.
He has been, what they've said is basically when he's available, he's going to play, and they're going to rest him as much as possible. But, like, you need to play to be ready. And I realize he's a stud, but I have questions. You know, they've lost a few pieces here and there. Receivers look good, but
you can get it, yeah. For Rams,
yes.
Devontae and those guys,
he's got
should
weapons.
Be fine. Yes, Puka and those guys,
mm-hmm.
they would consider having Davante Adams in there, aside across from Puka, is a pretty good.
But the Niners are supposed to do great. I mean, Niners are loaded back up.
Last year, very disappointing for them, like we said. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of questions about these Niners going back to the season. I don't know that Shanahan can survive too many more down years, though. So curious to see. What happens with the Niners? We'll keep you apprised of their injury situations, particularly at that wide receiver position. Did you see this? So it was a release by the Titans, and I guess I hadn't seen them in a while. But and you're probably familiar with your country music background, at least knowing a little something. See how much weight Jelly Roll's lost?
Yeah, it's remarkable.
So the video was shared to X by the Titans. Jelly Roll's 40 years old, country music star, mm-hmm. absolutely, and revealed he has dropped almost 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I told the coach I'm getting a contract if I lose another 50. The singer, whose real name is Jason DeFord, said to the sound of applause. He was talking to the Titans. I started at 540 pounds. I'm 357 this morning.
Oh, my baby. God.
I'm going to lose another 100 pounds and go skydiving with my wife in Sweden, baby. Obviously, the Jelly Roll, apparently a longtime Titans fan. He's a Tennessee native, grew up a Titans mm-hmm. fan. And so Callahan and those guys had him and had him in, and yes, he got unbelievable respect and applause for what he's done. If you see him now, it almost looks like half of what he was, but he has gone about, this is not some, hey, something's going on, he's got a situation. He has sought to lose weight mm-hmm. and has, my gosh, just become a different person in the two. The voice hasn't changed at all. The sound hasn't changed at all when you lose 200 pounds.
You would think it would get better, you know, with that kind of fat on your body. I mean, he was round.
I thought when you sing like that, though, there, sometimes when you've got that more girth, there is a rumble that you can sort of only get
replicate
when you're that.
That
yeah, way. You mm-hmm. yeah. So I wondered if it would still be that same sort of rumble. Now, like you said, though, ultimately you are healthier.
Yeah, and your
so,
longevity.
So
to
your
keep
lungs
going.
And everything going. You would think. I think I'm
like
I come down
from
on
a
your
deep
side.
Diaphragm breathing.
That
like
would,
I would think that
that it would make you a better singer overall. But man, to see the weight he's lost, what you know is it's going to be great for his life.
Yes.
Like the career, that's already taken off. He's 40 years old and everything, but to be down and 350 is still a lot.
Well, what
at
he's
40,
done.
But you were morbidly obese at 500 and something pounds. And so salute to Jelly Roll, man.
This guy has, and this is part of why he's
how
become
big
so
is
popular.
He
he's huge, because not just physically, but like from
country
a star.
Music game, I mean.
The whole prison story is remarkable. Like, he wrote a lot of these songs when he was literally in prison. I actually saw a CBS special about this, and he takes the camera crew into the jail cell where he wrote, like, Son of a Sinner and some of these tracks. It's remarkable, because this guy was doing hard time. He was dealing drugs, like, hardcore, man. So he had to get off the drugs, he had to get clean, and then he had, you know, obviously he's become a star. But, like, he was so big, though, Jason. I know at 540, when you drop 200 pounds, and maybe this is, I'm not trying to just joke around here, like, it takes a lot to get down below 300. you know. So he's got that next level to go.
Man, shout out to Jelly Roll. That's a great life decision for him, and just to be able to stick to it. You know, you can say, hey, just lose some weight, right? That's real easy for us to say, but whether you're dealing with addiction or whatever else it is, for you to have to do it on a day-to-day basis, can't do nothing but, what we talking about work ethic early in that first hour, can't do anything but respect it. All right, well, Memphis Grizzlies schedule we should have released a little bit later on. The full schedule will be released, in a couple days, mm-hmm. August 14th it is, I think. But we know they'll be playing the Orlando Magic in Berlin and London, right? Not playing that traditional Martin Luther King game. And the NBA in-season cup tournament matchups with teams divided into the six groups were announced early July. Grizzlies are in the West group with the Los Angeles Lakers, the Clippers, the lowly Pelicans, who I feel pretty good about still finishing above, but then you also have the Dallas Mavericks as well. Betting odds have the Lakers and Clippers. I'm reading from DeMichael Cole's story of the Commercial Appeal, the fantastic Grizzlies beat right over there. Betting odds have the Lakers and Clippers projected to finish above Memphis in the group standings. What do you think of that group and our chances? What do you think of them finishing top two?
I think it's going to be hard to finish in the top two, you know. And
we talked about Luka and what you're getting, a different Luka now for the Los Angeles Lakers.
You need to finish above the Pelicans. And honestly, given what you're trying to accomplish as a franchise, this team needs to be better than Dallas. Like, you can't let Dallas just walk in because they got the number one pick in Cooper Flagg and they got healthy, because all of us were clowning the move with Anthony Davis. I would say that, and they're also going to be the whole entire year, they're going to be out without Kyrie, right?
Maybe. He kind of said, hold your horses on saying I'm going to be back by late in the year.
We'll see. I still
think he gets back at some point, but they've gone out and gotten D'Angelo Russell for the meantime to make up for it, which I think is a quality enough replacement with everything that you've got on the team, so long as you've got good health from Anthony Davis and some of the rest of those bigs.
I think Grizzlies fans will tell you we need to be better, and then I'll speak for Grizzlies fans. You need to be better than the Lakers. You need to be better than the Mavericks. Like, given what you've accomplished over the last 3 years, I think it's fair to ask your franchise, even with the trade you made, you get Cedric Howard in here and you see what you got, but you need to be better than the Mavericks and the Lakers. That's my opinion. And that's my opinion as a fan, Jason. What say you?
I think they're going to finish fourth in this game.
I do too. Like, that's why I'm scared of it.
You know, I mean, Clippers, it's all based on health of Kawhi and all that, and it could go off the rails easily.
Yep.
But if they're healthy, sure, we've got them. I've got them above the Grizzlies. I would have the Lakers now still above the Grizzlies. You lost some key pieces. Dorian Finney-Smith, I don't think, was a good thing for the Lakers to lose, but they've acquired a big now in DeAndre Ayton, and you've got Luka now looking like he's committed to being a physical, you know, in much better physical shape is the way I phrase it. The only team I feel good about being ahead of is the New Orleans Pelicans, mm-hmm. who are an absolute mess.
Yeah, you can't be below them.
And so, listen, I think Zach Kleiman, in terms of what he said and in terms of the moves that he's made this offseason, sort of like what I was saying with Jessica Benson, he's telling you guys that, hey, it's going to require some patience real fast. We're about to take a step back. I know they don't want to outwardly say that, because you have to sell tickets. You want to keep people excited about this team, and you still got a potential superstar in Ja Morant so long as he's out there. But the moves tell you, man, and he said it, we're not a player away. And so it's going to require, you know, some patience. And so this idea that we look at this group and say, well, you should be above the Clippers and you should be above the Dallas Mavericks. And I think based on where we have been when Desmond Bane was a part of this, that's the way we felt. But it's going to take sort of a recalibration, because in the end, man, the best way up may truly be to take this step back. I've said it before. I'm not overly confident that Kleiman in taking this step back is going to make the right steps forward, even having the Phoenix pick next year and everything else. I think there are those questions. We don't know all of this banking that he's done on Tuomas Ysalo, mm-hmm. if it's going to work out.
No.
Because clearly there, I mean, he's got a lot riding on Ysalo. You didn't even do a round of interviews of other coaches. You know, you had the opportunity to do that. And so he's clearly your guy. In my estimation, if he was your guy, like we know, you wasted a year last year having the year start with Taylor Jenkins as your coach, and that came back to bite you in the butt.
Sure.
And so again, there's this is, it's not a rebuild, but it is obviously an acknowledgement of we've got to take a step back to take a couple of more steps forward. And I'm not sure Memphis fans, or more importantly, Ja Morant, are going to have the patience to sort of walk this through way you're going to have
you it. You need Jaren to be pretty healthy pretty quickly here to start the season, and then you are out Edie until you get him probably in December or something like that. But you brought up the coach. Are you concerned? Here's my challenge, because I'm concerned with what I've seen this summer. I'm concerned about what happened after Isolo started. Is there any concern from the last part of the season and the playoffs, and then Isolo installing his system this summer, and then G.G. Jackson is part of that system? Wells played pretty well. G.G. didn't play so well. It didn't make me excited when I'm watching the system out there this summer.
I mean, he's still working with a lot of unproven things himself, like you just mentioned. Like, G.G. Jackson still got to show us that he's a professional and can play in a rotation full-time all season long. Jalen Wells, yeah, great rookie season, but some of us are looking at it and saying, well, he needs to be the backup, ideally, to Cedric Howard, who hasn't played in over a year. Like, you know, you haven't seen, and the Grizzlies spent all this. And so it's just a lot of unproven right now. And that would be my question. When Ja Morant looks around at the rest of the league and he sees all of these other, you know, Tyrese Halliburton at 25, 26, Luka Doncic 26, Anthony Edwards 24, making these deep runs, and then he looks down his roster and he sees Jaren, sure, but then a bunch of unproven guys. Sure, you got KCP. But KCP ain't going to get you to a championship this year. Is he going to be willing to stand in there with you and say, you know what, yeah, I don't see it right now, but I trust in Kleiman that by this time next year, we're going to be right where we need to be, because that is the thing that you need most. You need his belief level. Because here's the thing, and we've said it, this is a plausible scenario. It looks bad 30, 40 games in next year, right? The system's not working. Remember, you're not going to have Edie early on, and Isolo fared very well with Zach Edie coming up in that system, being the screen setter and everything else.
Yeah, that did.
And I know they've gone out and gotten a backup that they hope's going to hold it down, but you're not going to have key piece right off the top right there. And so at a time you're trying to, again, still lay your foundation, you only had the 9 games in the playoffs last year. You're still doing that now. You won't have all your full pieces.
Sure.
And some of those pieces still have their own question marks. And so you're experimenting still. Ja and Jaren are 26. Their peers are winning and making deep runs. And so you telling me Ja's just going to be cool? Hey, you don't know, everything's good. I'm not looking at the top of the standings. We're developing here. That hasn't been his MO. He's always thought, hey, so long as I'm out here, we're competing at the top. And now I don't think you look down the rest of that roster, there's not enough there to do that. Is he going to be cool with that? That is the biggest thing looming over the Grizzlies to me right now. And so Jessica's right. Whether it's internal conversations he's having with himself, I got to understand that. Or more importantly, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations he's had with Zach Kleiman. Because if I'm Zach Kleiman, that's the one thing I'm trying to get across to him more than anything. John, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not happening this year. We love our flexibility, though. We've got enough flexibility that we can go out and make a move. We got this Phoenix pick. You know, we've got tradable assets that we can go out and make the splash, but we need to learn more. The problem is you're asking him sort of to reassess, learn a different way. And is he going to be okay with that in this point of his career? I mean, those conversations are the most important ones being had down on Beale Street right now.
I think that's within
the Grizzlies.
They need him
that
bought
one
in.
With Ja Morant.
I think that's the key to everything right now.
He just doesn't seem, again, when you've gone through Tanner and Mike Miller as agents,
right,
doesn't seem like the type
locked
of guy
in
that necessarily, you know, is willing to,
well,
to
he
remain
did say,
patient.
He did say when the draft was going on and there was all the speculation, he doubled down on social media about this is my home, this is where I want to be, and this is all before he went on the tour with Nike this offseason to launch the Ja 3s. But I will say they took a lot of pride in beating Dallas in that extra play-in. You know, they basically had to beat Dallas to get into the playoffs there at the end of the season. And they took a lot of pride in that win. Different team now. You got Cooper Flagg. They've signed up some other dudes. They're not going to have Kyrie still. But, like, part of me feels like, despite the step back, Jason, you just need to figure out a way to be better than Dallas. And I know the odds don't say that either. If you look at Vegas odds, it says Dallas is a better team than you.
I believe Dallas is a better team right now. Just because Dallas has we have more unprovens than Dallas. Ja Morant just went on a world tour right to LSU. Did you see it?
I watched part of it. Oh yeah, yeah.
Like the people over there are going
rock
nuts
stuff.
about this dude.
Yeah.
And he got to feel the taste of that again.
Yes.
He feels
globally.
That in Memphis, but he felt that globally, right?
Yep.
And he wants this shoe, which is getting some pretty good reviews, this Ja 3, to take off in a way that the Ja 1s and the Ja 2s haven't done. Can you do that as a 500 basketball team?
No.
Right.
Now, that's the answer right there.
That's why, because remember, as much as Ja's doubled down on I'm Grizzlies and I'm Memphis, Ja is also about some Ja.
Right.
And you're at a time where, maybe a critical time in trying to sell this shoe and be this worldwide phenom and sell this brand. What do you need from your team? What do you need on the floor? You need a winner.
Yep.
And so that's what, when you look at his, business interests compared with the patience that he's going to have on this team to get back to contender status, I don't know that those things line up. That's what concerns me those are the kinds of things that concern me watching Ja 6 years in now, right? Because he doesn't seem like the type. This is a key time for brand building for him at 26 years old. He's already missed some of it with some of his own
self-induced
mistakes.
Self-induced some of it.
100%. Yeah. Self-sabotage
sure,
there.
Yes.
But, and so that might make you feel even more urgent to not miss out this time. And I just ask you, is that an easy thing to do, or is it? It's not ideal if you are a 500 basketball team. Again,
have
the
we ever seen
win
it?
Totals at
have
40
we ever seen that
half.
Work? Have we ever seen that from a marketing perspective?
I mean, Kyrie was probably on some bad teams, and his shoes were still selling. I'm just saying,
the Cavs were relevant.
Ja's got one playoff series win.
I know.
And so
it's amazing what he's done with just that, though. Too, I will say to his credit, like what they've done from a marketing perspective with, and I'm not trying to disparage the Grizzlies, but with limited playoff run, it's pretty impressive.
Look, I think you probably had to break up the big three. Like, I am with Zach Kleiman there that you probably had to take the step back to move forward again. I'm not against that plan.
Yeah.
Again, I have my doubts on his next moves and his ability to pull them off, relationships, trades, everything else. Those have not been his strong suits.
Yep.
All that said is, where I have the most concern is keeping Ja on board with his plan.
Well, I do like the fact that instead of taking a shot and trading for Marcus Smart, I'll be real with you, man, it feels a lot more fun trying to trade, trade for picks and then get Cedric Coward and trade up. I mean, and I realize it's the same thing, but it's more fun. And it feels like you could have predicted that we would see what we saw with Marcus, as opposed to bringing in Cedric Cowher, and you see his measurements, and you see that Duke would double down to try to get him there. Like, it does feel like it could work, but the Marcus Smart did not work, and that's really set them back. The Marcus Smart might have been the reason why you had to trade Bane in the end of the day, because you had to make so many changes, then you let him go.
You couldn't continue to pay those three guys what they were on tap for in Jaren's case and what you were currently paying them, and not win, not be a contender,
not
be
top.
At a championship level. Right. That's why you had to trade.
It was
Desmond
a shot.
Bane.
It was a
and
shot.
Now you're trying to find new ways to win with a two that, frankly, haven't been on the floor together enough between them, like we talked about from Harrington's mailbag, earlier this morning. And so, there's a lot riding on some big question marks of Zach Edey, Cedric Coward, Ja Morant, and Jaren Jackson staying on the floor together at a time you have an unproven coach, you're trying to find a new way to win, and people need to be gearing up for this.
I think that's fair.
Ja Morant right at the top of it. It's one thing for us media and everything to say, okay, is this plan good enough? For Zach Kleiman and this thing to work out, he's got to keep those folks inside that locker room believing that's where the biggest challenge may ultimately lie.
Well, and the luck you need is you can't have any injuries now. Like, you've exceeded your limit.
Well, and it just seems like we say that year after year, and yet they continue to come and continue to be
key. You're at point break now. Like, literally. Like, you tried to buy some backups for your center. You're going to have your center out and through December, probably.
What about John? Injury. He's only played 60 more than 65 games.
I think
which
we're
is
counting
the,
on it
limit
just being
one time.
Fixed. We're just counting on it being fixed. And I think Ja is, which is why you can't go try to posterize everybody. He has to be on the floor. They got a lot of guard depth, though. I mean, you got Scotty now. You got Coward, which is really a two. And then they got the kid from Cleveland.
I'm glad you went there, because while I continue to say Zach Kleiman, that it's on you to get Ja Morant to believe, even if you have to take a step back. There is a huge part of this for Ja, that a huge responsibility for himself. If it's adjusting your game, not trying to do whatever it is, you have to remain on the floor for your part in this thing getting back as quickly as it is. We know Kleiman's got to make some deals. What's he going to do with the Phoenix pick and all that? That's his part. Your part, though, to fast forward, to accelerate getting back, is being out there. And so, again, requiring changing your game, not trying to dunk on Lou Dort. That's what is needed of you at this point, at 26, 6 years in here, going into year seven. That's what's needed of you. And so there is just as much responsibility on him as there is Zach Kleiman, but there has to be an understanding between the two that both of them have got to raise their levels. I would say to both of them, Ja being on the floor, adjusting the game, get that mid-range game so you don't have to go in there and try to dunk on everybody. And then Zach Kleiman, in terms of acquisitions, trades, everything else, an area that has been one of his weak spots.
What did you and then
both of them.
Similar topic here. What did you think of Make 'em Watch, the Ja 3 sort of angle on his new marketing where he's, you know, dunking and then he pulls up, you know, he's not doing that.
There's a key to Making 'em Watch. You got to be out there.
Yep.
I love it. I love the way that Nike has sort of laid into some of his, you know, mistakes, yep. His bad boy side, controversy, like they put on the ingredients thing. Not that you want a guy who's going to be the bad boy of the league, because I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for Ja's career or for the Memphis Grizzlies.
No.
But they've embraced his mistakes and made it a part of his brand just in a, you know, Nike genius brand way. And I love that that's happened for him. This shoe is getting some pretty good reviews.
Yes.
I told y'all I bought it for Chris. I mean, you see them. They look different than the ones and the twos. They got a chance to take. I like the branding. I like the campaign. Nike's, that's what they do.
I like the logo with the Ja and the swoosh with the A.
What's clear to me is like, he wrote that backwards swoosh to make it the J and the Ja. Like, they let him help design
that's
that.
Cool.
They let him help design. They have poured, my point on this would be, based on where you took me, they've put a lot of faith and trust into him getting it right. They truly believe in him is what's clear.
Yeah.
Remember, they backed off Kyrie. All the anti-Semitic, you know, all that stuff. There was so much. I hesitate to go back and pull that off.
Right.
I mean, Nike had given him, you know, it sort of said, look, mm-hmm. dude, like, we need your help here.
Yeah.
And decided to move off of him. And Ja's the replacement. They clearly still, even through the mistakes, they believe in him. Back to the point for Ja and the Grizzlies. This is on Ja now.
Yep.
You know, to his part of the deal with Nike. You want him to watch? Be out there. You know, you can't win MVP, can't be in the running if you're not playing 65-plus games. You have a great deal of responsibility in that and staying on the floor. And again, best thing for the Grizzlies, to accelerate the growth of all these guys. Well, you want G.G. Jackson and Cedric Coward, Jalen Wells, all those guys to get better, be on the fast track to development, have Ja Morant on the floor with them. That's the way to that.
I think that Ja is impressive from a Q-score perspective because – when he rebranded and then he came out for the playoffs and he was doing the grenade stuff, I'm sorry, taking his words away, I thought that proved how popular globally this guy is and what the opportunity is. Because as soon as he did that, everybody was doing the celebration. Like all the kids were doing the celebration. Acuna's doing the celebration on the base paths for the Braves. So like I think clearly Nike has said, this guy's Q rating and potential, despite the problems, is off the charts.
I think that's the key for me, is that it's still...
It hasn't moved
right.
for them.
Because I thought after the mistake, some of it would drop off. But
it's
still bubbling.
Yes.
And in that way, and Nike very smartly embraces the mistakes, makes it a part of the campaign, it's all still right there for them to have.
It's right there.
But now so Nike's done its part, clearly. That's what I think of the campaign.
Yes,
it's fantastic. It looks like the campaign of a superstar, a guy who's ready to make a run to the finals. That's what it looks like. You know, something reminiscent of the Lil Penny campaign. I mean, it looked fun and everything else.
Yep.
Now it's on you to be out there enough, not just for your, you know, for your brand, but also for your franchise. I mean, Ja's got a huge part in this. So does Zach Kleiman, obviously. But those are the two. Clearly, that have to raise their levels if this thing's going to get back to contender status as quickly as possible. You need it quick. Ja and Jaren, both 26 this summer, as Harrington wrote in his mailbag. Jaren will be 26 September 12th, I believe it is. And happy early birthday to Jaren Jackson Jr. We're going to need you. We got a lot more to do, including 125. We're going to bring on my man Chuck Lawson, the uncle of the Lawsons. Remember him? Remember those guys, all of them running through the University of Memphis? We actually brought up Diedrich as a guy who could win that one-on-one tournament. We're going to talk to Chuck about something different, Tennessee Collegiate Academy. Chuck's been around a long time, covered middle and high school sports around here, long time, middle and high school basketball. And this has been, you know, something that's been in the works around Memphis, a prep school that maybe could take over in a national way for a long time. I'm interested to get his thoughts on the impact potentially of Tennessee Collegiate Academy and just what he knows about this new enterprise that's taking place out at TRA, a collaboration with Tipton Rosemart. We'll talk about all that and more. You listen to Jason John Show tonight.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
929 FM ESPN. Need that love power. You need the live love power. Live love power. Yes. Jennifer Carstensen putting that live love power out. That's her group, the Live Love Team. And if you got a home you need sold for top dollar and you need it sold quickly, you don't need it hanging out there for a long time on the market, you're having to decrease the price, everything else, get with Live Love. 916-25-5200. That's what I did back in 2018. Boy, did I call the right group. And I will always be family with Live Love. Jennifer still sends us cards, and she'll be my realtor for life. If we sell again after she helped us find our dream home, and maybe it will be, maybe down the road, Faith and I will be downsizing. You know what I mean? Old Chris will be out of the nest. We'll need something smaller. It'll be Jen Carstensen that's leading us because she's so great at it. Everybody we referred to her team has had nothing but rave reviews. Let her work for you and see how easy the process can be. And that's both, again, on the selling and buying side. She's done in every market. So, again, if you're interviewing realtors, make her one of your interviews. You'll love her. 916-25-5200. So, Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency. I see what you did there with the love power and hitting that up with a nice little Live Love spot.
You see, that's an artist. You were at the bow on it,
brother. Brad Carson is an absolute artist. We're hoping that that the Memphis Tigers are going to be artists, winning artists this year, and painting a new style of play on offense, a brand new style. Because you sort of have had a clean slate. I mean, Seth Hennigan's out of here, and you kind of have to try to find a new way to win with a new quarterback in Brendan Lewis, who we've talked a lot about this offseason. We still, you know, while we know, you know, what he's done at his previous stops, what we don't know is what it's going to look like for this Memphis offense. I saw Gabe Kuhn talking about this on social media today, the different look that you figure it will be when you bring a guy like Brendan Lewis, who, you know, has legs, who brings a, you know, RPO, an ability to run the ball to the table that wasn't Seth Hennigan's bag. Seth Hennigan was, for the most part, a pocket passer, guy's going to get the ball out. He was deceptively athletic, I would say. I still give him more credit than I think he ever got in terms of being able to move in that pocket, get around guys, and if he had to scramble, he could. But he wasn't a guy that you were options with or anything like that. And so you've got a new guy in Brendan Lewis that can do that. And we saw yesterday in that AP poll. Tigers got, what, 9 votes, and that put them tied for 38th. I think we had said 39th mm-hmm. off the school. They'd shorted themselves. They're actually 38th. If you're going to be moving up, it's going to take a good Brendan Lewis. And one of the things that Jonah Dillon, the football beat writer, Tigers football beat writer over the Commercial Appeal, has done was rank the quarterbacks in the AAC. I was very curious. Came out yesterday. I was very curious where Brendan Lewis, in his first year, mm-hmm. would be ranked in terms of, again, just right here in the conference. We have high expectations for Memphis, even a year where maybe across the league the expectations yeah. might be a little bit lowered because you don't have Seth Hennigan. Remember last year you were the pick. You were the number one pick in the AAC. From what we've seen from Vegas and everything else, it looks like third, fourth in that range. Maybe that's because part of it is the fact that Jake Retzlaff, excuse me, let me get that name out, the BYU transfer that landed at Tulane, Jonah's got him ranked right at the top at number one based on what he did last year at BYU, threw for 2,947 yards, 20 touchdowns. They got him relatively recently. I remember talking about him and the acquisition with John right before I got out of here for a little break. And Jonah's got him right at the top based on what he did for BYU this season. And so even with the, a short time with the team, Tulane's got themselves another quarterback and maybe the best one in the league. The guy we saw last year come onto the scene and bring Navy right back to, a high-level, contender-level status in the AAC was Blake Horvath, who Jonah's got second, the Navy quarterback who is back and is a guy who, when healthy, can really give you some problems out of that triple-option offense. Number three, it's not the Memphis quarterback. It's Byron Brown, South Florida. Flash star potential for the Bulls. Jonah writes in 2003, throwing for 3,300 yards, rushing for 809. Excellent fit for South Florida's offense, which moves as quick as any teams in the country. Last year, though, was a wash for him. Played the first 5 games, then missed the rest of the season with a leg injury. Did come back for the Hawaii Bowl. So long as he's healthy, Jonah Dillon's got him number 3. And then we got the guy that's leading that UTSA offense that burned you up last year, burned Memphis up, Owen McCown, who had the back and forth with the former Memphis DB about that game. Remember Owen McCown, who talked about that at media days and saying that that wasn't really helpful information. He'd had the back and forth with the Memphis DB, who's no longer here. He's now has transferred and gone to Purdue. He's number 4, put up some good numbers last year. Certainly good ones in the win over Memphis, over 300 yards. 3,424 passing yards on the season last year, 340. And then we get to Brendan Lewis, who Jonah Dillon's got 5th in the conference. Didn't realize he was briefly McCown's teammate at Colorado, has more career passing yards than anyone else on the list. He's also one of the best runners with more than 1,500 rushing yards. Like we said, he's a guy that you can run some RPO, some option stuff with, entering his 6th year of college football and as much talent around him as anyone in the conference, because Memphis, with as much resources as anyone in the conference, has done a pretty good job in the transfer portal. But you're going to have to figure out the best way to win with Brendan Lewis, a new way to win, because Tim Kramsey's had a guy that he could bank on in Seth Hennigan, who, frankly, when you're talking about your offense with Seth Hennigan, you can let Seth do most of the talking based on how familiar you were with him and his game. But ultimately, for an offense that's been top 15 in the country in terms of FBS schools the last 2 years, 12 and 10, actually, I should rephrase that and say top 12 in the country, trying to meet that mark again, with a quarterback who, yes, has some different attributes he brings to the table than Seth, but clearly not as accomplished as Seth, not as much of a winner as Seth. What's your end of the bargain, Memphis offense? How much different is going to look like than previous Memphis offense? Imagine it's going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
And one where maybe you're relying more so on your run game with DeWosier and Sutton Smith and a quarterback who can run than you are your pass game. Maybe what we see is a little bit less explosiveness in terms of the passing game, those kinds of, and more of a Memphis team that's looking to get out there and run you over, wear you down with its run game. What do you think?
They're going to have to do something different than Nevada because they were terrible with Brendan Lewis.
Well, he hasn't won to that point. I mean, he hasn't been in a winning situation. You're right. And so that's going to be a change for him. But you figure that with your ability to go out and hit this transfer portal, that you've put some solid talent around him. Again, a lot of unprovens, it looks like, in that receiver room.
I told Jay, I was talking to Gabe about this yesterday, and I said, this is going to sound bananas to Memphis football fans, I bet they come out with an option package. Like, I know that's ridiculous, especially because we've been watching a lot of balls in the air with Seth Hennigan, but he wasn't a runner, like you pointed out. I bet you are going to see two backs, and there's going to be a ton of like three option look type stuff. You know, we're handing the ball. He's looking the opposite direction.
I mean, Krims has got a chance here to get real creative.
Yes.
But you're going to have to change.
Maybe not against Chattanooga. Not in week one. But I imagine like when they get to Arkansas, there's going to be like, whoa, what the? What? Look at this. This is not something we've seen.
It's exciting in the sense that we should see something new, a new wrinkle.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see what happens. And I've told myself, you know, as far as this Memphis football season, yes, we have high expectations still, even in a year where you've lost Seth Hennigan, and basically you're having to replace every starter. John and I think you should still be, with your resources, with the way you're able to attack the transfer portal, you should still be, you know, in the conference championship game. All that said, you know, I just wonder if this might actually, he missed it last year when all the pressure was on him. He was picked number one, and you lose to UTSA in a game that cost you a trip to the conference championship game. I just wonder if this year, with maybe nationally a little bit of the pressure off, because it feels like folks are saying, all right, well, he's lost Seth Hennigan. Maybe he doesn't win 11 or 10, that maybe this is the year Ryan can burst through. Maybe because you're so dependent on Seth Hennigan and everything, and one style of winning, maybe a change is welcome here. And maybe the breakthrough can come after change. I know that kind of, you know, it suggests logically, kind of goes against the opposite. You lost something you were very familiar with in Seth Hennigan, and you'd figure a step back is coming. But Cramsey's a smart dude. His offenses have been great. Mm-hmm. He'll figure out the best way to utilize Brendan Lewis. Question's going to be, you know, will you have enough of a passing game to balance things out? Because I think they're going to have a pretty good run game. And from the guys they brought in from an offensive line standpoint, I've been listening to Gabe. I mean, it sounds like it should be.
That's what he said.
It sounds like it should be pretty good. So, listen. Because Memphis's defense hasn't held up its end, we've continued to talk about that. That's been the story, really, of coming up short in the 5 years of Ryan Silverfield. And I just mean in coming up short, not making that conference championship game. You haven't had the defense that's gotten to get the stops. There's been so much pressure on your offense. And so I don't think that pressure comes off. That pressure will remain. You'll just be doing it in a different way. And then back to that Memphis defense, it's still the same story. Last year, you got to 80th out of the 131, 135, 36 FBS schools or whatever it's been. A couple of years ago, you were in the hundreds. That was improvement, but you need to be, Brad, at least a top 75 defense, right, to make a conference title game. You have to be able to, you needed that extra one or two stops against UTSA. You needed that extra two or three stops against Navy. That's been the key. And so,
you know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC.
Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.